When he gets off there, when he takes his taxi, he gets to his room, all the time he is bechain, he is restless, till he goes and Allah Pak allows him to present himself at the wonderful court of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our Shaykh Az Muhammad Patel Sa'ud Barakatuhum, he says, we must never ever imagine that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is lying in a qabr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a type of a hayati. Only Allah ta'ala knows exactly what type of hayati that is. So we would say that any Muslim would be bechain if he doesn't see Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But these are Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. To understand the level of muhabbat that Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is one incident. I think it was my principal, Zuman Abdul Hamid Saab, Damat Barakatum, who had mentioned this. He says that there was one buzurg. He was very, very pious. And he had developed a lot of muhabbat for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he began thinking to himself that, you know, I think I got the same muhabbat that Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had. See, I got such muhabbat for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, definitely, I must be there on par with the muhabbat that Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had. So when this thought came to mind, that night he is seeing a vision, he is seeing a dream. In this dream, he sees himself in a wagon. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in that wagon. He is present there. And there are four Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum that are also present there in that wagon. And this wagon is going downhill. And next thing, this wagon is out of control. It is just going full speed downhill. And if this wagon is not stopped, then some harm may come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In a dream, he's seeing all this in a dream. So he is thinking in this dream of his, he is thinking that, you know, if I get a piece of wood or if I get something and I can jam it in the tire, in this wheel of the wagon, if I can jam something and bring this wagon to a halt, so I will be saving Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So while he is still thinking, he still, you know, this thought is still in his mind, he sees the wagon has come to a stop. So he is wondering that how did this wagon stop? So when he looks out of the wagon, he sees those four Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they had made themselves human wheels. They had already jumped off the wagon and they had stopped. Physically, they had stopped that wagon, not worrying about what harm and what injury may come to them. And then he woke up. When he woke up, he made tawbah, he made istighfar. He said, where can I ever think that the level of muhabbat that I have for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the level that Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had for Huzur-e Akdas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this Sahabi is telling Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I don't get peace until I see your Mubarak face. He says, but Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the thing that is now worrying me is that maut is something that is inevitable. You are going to pass away. I am also going to pass away. And when you pass away, then definitely you are going to be in the lofty, lofty, high, high stages of Jannat with all the other Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. You will be enjoying such a high rank in Jannat. And a person like me, now this was his humility, this was how he thought about himself. He says that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the first place, I don't even know if I'm going to reach Jannat. And then, even if I have to reach Jannat, definitely I am going to be much, much lower than where you are. So how am I then going to see you? I will have all the commodities, everything of Jannat. But if I am unable to look at your Mubarak face, where will I have peace even in Jannat? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he listens to this Sahabi, listens to him nicely, But he doesn't give him any response. He doesn't give him any jawab. He doesn't give him any answer. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals this wonderful verse, that those people who are obedient to Allah ta'ala and they are obedient to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then they will be in the company of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam then reads this verse to this sahabi. And then this sahabi now gets some tasalli. But there is a precondition. The precondition is ita'at, obedience. We have to be obedient to Allah Ta'ala. We have to be obedient to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To earn Jannat, we know, even Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has said that no person will enter Jannat through his a'mal. Every person will only enter Jannat through the fazl and the karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in this dunya, we have to make a'mal. We have to perform good deeds and we have to abstain from gunas. Every promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made is on a'mal. If we read in the Quran Sharif, everywhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about iman and amal-e-salih. Being obedient to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means doing those things that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ordered us to do, and abstaining from those things which Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ordered us to abstain from. Now this can be extended in every field or in every avenue of our lives. We need to check, are we obedient to Allah Ta'ala? Are we obedient to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or are we being totally defiant, totally disobedient? Before this ayat that we have just discussed a little bit of it, before this, a few ayat before this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning with regards to an incident that had taken place in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every one of us, we should reflect and we should weigh this incident against ourselves. We should put ourselves on the scale there. There was a person by the name of Bishr. Now this Bishr, outwardly he was portraying himself as a Muslim, but in his heart he was a munafiq. He had kufr in his heart, but outwardly he was portraying himself as a Muslim. His name was Bishr. Now this Bishr, he had a dispute with a Jew. He had some dispute with a Jew. So this Jew told him that, look, why don't we go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to settle the dispute? Because when Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come to Medina Sharif, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had entered into a treaty with the Jews there. And he had told them also that if at any time there is a problem between the Muslims and the Jews, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam would arbitrate the matter and he would pass a judgment in the matter. So this Jew is telling that munafiq, he says, why don't we go to your Prophet and let your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam make a ruling? Now the Jew, not that he wanted to go to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he too had an agenda. What was his agenda? He knew his right. He knew he is right. And he knew that there is no person more just than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So definitely the ruling is going to go in his favor. But this Bishr, he knew he is wrong. So he is telling the Jew, he said, no, why don't we go to Ka'b bin Ashraf? Now Ka'b bin Ashraf was a Jew. So he said, why don't we go to one of your brothers? We go to Ka'b bin Ashraf. Because this Bishr knew he is wrong. So maybe the Jew may just take his part, but not Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So anyway, this Jew carried on, you know, influencing him, and eventually this Bishr, he agreed that, okay, we will go to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when they went to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam